This is an ABC podcast.
This is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall on ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria.
Al fresco dining was once a little treat. It was a bit of a summer luxury. But now it's pretty much all we have. Rain, hail or shine, eating outside is the norm. And sometimes it's the only option for venues, and that is, well, when they can actually open, Jono.
Yes, that's right, Rochelle Hunt. It's 1 year since the Victorian government announced $290 million to help bring a New York-inspired dining culture to Melbourne and Victoria. And outdoor dining has been a lifesaver for many hospitality businesses through the pandemic. But now some local councils are cracking down and they're saying time's up and telling businesses they could have to pay by the end of the year for that space that they use.
The fact is, dining and eating outdoors, it's going to be our future. It's all about now how it will look and what it will cost. Will we start to see more food trucks, for example, popping up in public spaces, almost like pop-up dining?
Oh, I think we've got to, Rish. And will there be more walk and wine tours, maybe? I know they were...
That's controversial.
Well, they were a bit controversial a couple of weekends ago. And do we need to allocate more public space for outdoor hospitality solutions?
And if that's the case, who should pay for that space? Should the venue, should the council, or should we, the customer?
On ABC Radio Melbourne and Victoria, this is The Conversation Hour with Rochelle Hunt and Jonathan Kendall.
Today on The Conversation Hour, we're talking about outdoor dining. What is the future of it? What will it look like? Will we see more pop-up venues? Will we see... Well, I know Mr. Whippy is pretty much chasing kids around the street in my local area. Jono, it's all he or she has got at the moment. But, you know, we're going to have to think creatively. But what's interesting is anecdotally, we're hearing that some venues are now being told, as you said, time's up. You're going to have to start to pay for this outdoor space that was once car parking.
Yeah. And I, for one, if the future of hospitality does include food trucks, I'm very happy with that, Rish. Big fan of food trucks. Have frequented many of them. In fact, I had a toasted sandwich with macaroni cheese in it from a food truck, which opened, it blew my mind. Anyway.
Macaroni and cheese in the sandwich?
In the sandwich, yeah.
With the pasta?
Yes. Carb on carb. Carb on carb, Rish.
See, I've had bolognese in a jaffle, but without the actual pasta. But the... Anyway, this is a whole other program.
Yeah,
really,
we're getting off track here. Let's have a chat with Andrew Watson, who's the owner of Hobson's in Sandringham. And he started a campaign called Save Our Spacelets. Morning, Andrew. What exactly are you trying to save?
Good morning. First of all, thank you for having me on the show.
You're welcome.
The Save Our Spacelets is basically last year under the state government incentive, our local council very promptly did a great job of allowing us to, or that they supplied an area at the front of our building that took up 3 car spots and provided outside dining for 30 people. And in regards to the fees and everything like that, they waived that, which was great, just to get us back up and running, because obviously last year we were closed from March till... We reopened on November the 4th, and it was a pretty tough gig. So what's happened now is a council meeting a couple of weeks ago, they decided that the time was up for the parklets, or the spacelets, is what they call them, and as of 31st of August, they will no longer be there. So hence we invited the general public of Bayside to comment on this, because we wanted some more consultation. Unfortunately, that didn't happen, and hence our Save Our Spacelet campaign.
So it's not just for the area of Bayside. We're actually almost going to be whipping around the state of Victoria today, because it's happening in lots of places.
That's right.
It's almost like a time's up here, that now you have to start to pay. The 31st of August, so that's obviously that date has just gone. What sort of prices are you being told if you wanted to keep that space there? Can you pay for it, or is it just going...
Okay, so at the moment as it stands, the council are meeting in September, so they've continued that the space will stay as it is at the moment till the meeting in September, and then they're going to consult now And then in November, they'll give us a pricing of what I suppose it'll be, if it's going to stay as a permanent concept or whether it's going to be removed.
So is this as simple as car parks versus outdoor dining? Is that what it comes down to?
Yeah, basically it is. And in Sandringham, we've got other vendors in our street as well that have got the footpath and taken over some of the car spots. It constitutes 2.3% of the parking of Sandringham. So we feel that it's the vibe that you get from outside dining, and obviously with COVID and resurfacing from that and getting back to where we were, people are going to demand that outside dining exists.
So if the future is outdoor dining, but the council need the revenue for parking, but venues like yourself, Andrew, need the space because it's pretty much all we've got at the moment, what are some of the solutions? We put a tariff on, for example, for public holidays. That was something that hasn't always been around, and the customers, I think, now kind of wear it, that maybe there's 10% on particular days at the end of your bill. Yep. Is there a way that the customer pays? That's controversial, I know.
Yeah, I think the first case is that, look, any sort of footpath, table or advertising, we currently pay that anyway. Now, obviously during COVID that's been waived by the council. The parking that we have in our area is actually free parking, so there's no revenue. The only revenue is the occasional parking ticket.
And if you cast your mind back to last year, in September last year, the Victorian government announced $290 million to help businesses reimagine their operations and bring a New York-inspired dining culture to Melbourne and to Victoria. And part of that $290 million was $100 million for a city recovery fund. Where's that money been spent? Has it been spent anywhere near you?
Well, that's basically with the spaces that were provided by the council, that's where they got the money from the state government. And my point is that this money, it's a valuable asset, and we just haven't had a return on the use due to the number of lockdowns that we've had in the last 12 months. We're on our sixth now and it's still going. So we really do need that assistance. And I just think we also, As a business, we received a grant for our outside dining area to make it into, you know, a nice place with furniture and everything like that, which was just so invaluable at the time. And we just need to keep it going until there's more of a consensus on how it's going to continue on a permanent basis.
And I know that you have musicians there as well, so when you are actually open, at least the odd musician here and
That's
there is
right.
getting paid for it too. Andrew, look, thanks so much for your time. You're certainly not alone in this. Andrew Watson, he's the owner of Hobson's in Sandringham. What do you think? The future of outdoor dining. Should venues pay? Should councils waiver those costs and they pay? Or should we, the customer, pay? Meg in Ballarine says, council money is our money. I'm very happy for my council contribution to cover outdoor eating spots, as this text.
Yeah, and a good point well made there. David Clark is the co-owner of Beer Mash, which is in Collingwood. G'day, David.
Morning, guys. How you going?
Good. What's your situation with outdoor dining? When will you start to be charged?
As Andrew was just saying, we're in the city of Yarra ourselves. With the fees for outdoor dining and things like that, and council fees, as you said, a lot of these have been waived every time we've gone into a lockdown because we can't use these spaces. But I guess mid this year, the City of Yarra announced that they were introducing parklet fees, which there was a primary street fee, an intermediate street fee, and a neighbourhood street fee based on where you were located. And the idea was to encourage the businesses that were going to properly embrace these spaces, make them really, really fit nicely into the community and into the streets, that were willing to actually, you know, put that effort in, which we were one of the businesses that put our hand up straight away and said, yes, we fully agree with this. There's a lot of businesses that turned around and didn't want to pay that, and I think a lot of the temporary spaces have now gone, which is a bit sad to see, but it's also, it is important to kind of keep the community happy.
And what's interesting too with some of these spaces that you've seen pop up all across Victoria, we'll cross to Bendigo in just a moment, but there's a text here from Shepparton that says, you know, councils should not be able to enforce previous fees for outdoor dining and private dining permits, given the government has actually encourages businesses to do so and fund them to be able to make this happen. So it's a Victorian-wide problem and issue. But what I find interesting, David, is it actually creates a little bit of vibe and energy, and it makes certain streets and spaces that maybe were once just full of car parking, it makes it feel fun in a time that's really not that fun.
100%. I live in Collingwood, so I'm part of the community. I live in a little tiny apartment, so I don't get to, you know, if I'm outside, I'm not in my backyard, I'm out on the street. And I think a lot of the people that live in high-density areas really do embrace these outdoor areas. And the vibrancy on a retail high street such as Smith Street or Brunswick Street changed so much over summer when we were obviously allowed to open, to the point where I remember when we put our seats in and within 30 minutes of getting the seats down, we were at capacity in this outdoor area and the inside of our business was completely empty. And it was beautiful because it was this amazing reclamation of space, which used to be two or three car parks, which is where two or three cars can park, versus 100 people sitting outside socially in the community. And I really like the fact that every business in Victoria has been able to design and create their own. So it's almost kind of parallel to when Victoria became, you know, well known for having alleyway hidden bars and spaces like that. And we've kind of got to create our own unique thing, which is really
cool. There's an element of creativity there. Karen is with us from Diamond Creek now. Good morning, Karen. What's your point?
Good morning. Thanks for having me. My concern is lack of car parking spaces. Not all of us live in areas where we can walk to things, and council taking up car parking spaces actually puts pressure on those of us that need cars to get around. So I'm just a bit concerned what happens there.
What do you think the solution is, though, Karen? I mean, if some of us can, if you can walk a little bit further and it means that a business could stay open or not, because, you know, maybe that business doesn't have too many other options, can we all kind of come to the party a bit, do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I think council could support with changing car parking limits, and perhaps using more open spaces nearby, almost shopping centre style with like a food court. Like, I don't know why multiple businesses can't use adjoining sort of spaces. So
that's an interesting
idea. That's just a concern,
idea.
You know.
So more like a pop-up food court somewhere.
Oh, yeah, something absolutely like that. Just be really clever in design and thing. But I think losing car spaces, particularly in and out of suburbs where walking and getting there on foot isn't appropriate, or isn't achievable, is something that needs to be considered in this mix too, because it is putting pressure on other spaces.
Yeah, good on you, Karen. Thank you for your call. And there's a text as well. I mean, we're talking about accessibility for playgrounds yesterday, Rish, but around making enough space so that wheelchairs can get through on the footpath, which is a really, really good
point.
But
this is the difference, I think, though, is that the outdoor dining is on where the car parks are. And, David, you can probably talk to this. This is not taking up footpath space, and some areas don't have a lot of footpath space at all. So, I mean, as soon as you take up car parking, it is such a controversial topic at the best of times. Car parking is just big business. David, what do you think the future is? I mean, where you are in the heart of the city in Smith Street, Collingwood, I think it was labelled the coolest street in the world or something insane like that. What's the future, do you think, for the next 12 months? Will we see pop-up food courts like Karen just said, or will outdoor dining be probably our only way forward for the foreseeable future?
I mean, from a COVID point of view, which you can't ignore, everything, you know, outdoors is probably the only way that businesses can really open properly, which is, you know, going for a COVID-safe summer like we were last summer. That's why these things were introduced. But I do think certain councils, and as Karen said, some areas it might not necessarily work out and be as viable. But in inner city dense living areas, most people do commute with public transport, bikes or on foot. And, you know, I even noticed in the last 12 months there is never parking issues on the high streets, even though this has been an age-old argument between retailers and hospitality with taking up, getting rid of car spaces. We had a meeting with our mayor, Gabriel Divietri, earlier this year, and there was a survey that was done that 97% of people that voted on this survey in the city of Yarra wanted to keep parklets, which was the highest leaning vote ever in the history of our council. And the only concerns were one or two small businesses that had high-end customers that didn't want to walk from their vehicle. They didn't want to walk more than a couple of metres more than normal.
Well, that is, yeah, that's a consensus, isn't it? 97% is a pretty strong result. David, look, thank you very much, and hopefully we can get out of lockdown soon so that you can reopen.
I think you speak for all of Victoria there.
Good on you,
David Clark, the co-owner of Beer Mash in Collingwood on Smith Street. I didn't know this, Rish, is apparently the coolest street in the world. See, I reckon in regional Victoria we've got a few contenders there.
I would say so. Hey, look, I used to work and live around that area, and when I was there it certainly was not cool, and it has become cool in a very short period of time. Techs are interesting. This is absolutely outrageous. These businesses are dying. Another saying, until we're at 100% capacity, parklets should remain free. This is from Duncan, and he says, morning, guys. Please don't just focus on outdoor dining. Our restaurant, which is a very successful dining restaurant, has suffered for so many years now because of COVID, but we can't have outdoor dining as our restaurant fronts the highway. There has to be solutions for other people as well. Duncan, that's what we're trying to work out today. What are some of the other solutions? I loved Karen's idea of pop-up food courts in areas.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's almost like a little farmers market, but dining and food options. And maybe we will see more of these pop-up solutions. But I don't know how feasible that is for the average restaurant or cafe to be able to do that. There'd be
that
cost.
Because there are some businesses that this just doesn't work for. There is just not enough space for this to work for. I mean, some businesses it works for, and that's great, and you can have a little bit of income through these, not as much as you would usually have, but it helps the business get by.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? When this all first started 12 months ago when we were looking at outdoor dining, because Danny in East Bentley has sent a message, and I'd totally forgotten about this, Danny. She says, Southland in Moorabbin has three levels of car parking. Good and interesting idea. Maybe the top level could be pop-up food.
Yes.
Now, that was actually discussed. Should we, while no one's coming into the city and driving in the city, and this would be work in Shepparton or Bendigo or Traralgon, any of these places where you've got big car park areas, should entire levels, with the right ventilation, of course, be pop-up restaurant spaces? Would that work? But then there was issues around how do you get the food up and down the stairs, and where do you
food
prepare
trucks.
It?
It's food. You just drive food trucks up there. It's simple.
That's simple, is it, John? Why is it not happening then?
No, there's a lot more to it than that. There is a lot more to it than that. But it is a really interesting point. Some interesting ideas coming through on the text line, you know, pop-up little food festivals and food trucks. I think we should be looking at all of this stuff. But the question today is, what is the future of outdoor dining? We know it's going to be with us for a long time because the virus is more readily spread indoors. So what are we going to see into the future? And who should be paying for outdoor dining? The venue, the council, or the customer?
Duncan's actually on the line now. Duncan, now this is your restaurant that faces a busy road. What are some of the solutions that would help you?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call. I think, look, in terms of hospitality all over, everyone's doing what they can, whether it be delivery, outdoor dining. But for those, there's a lot of us who are right on that freeway, and unless we can put something up in a car park, which is potentially usually a car park behind the restaurant, there's really nothing that really helps restaurants like ours. I think what really needs to happen, especially for those restaurants who aren't inclined to have food that is takeaway friendly, I feel for all of those restaurants, I think they need to have some sort of way to allow customers to come back into the restaurant, but just in small numbers. Even if they're just like groups of family members that can come in at certain times, anything like this. But it's really difficult. And also, I think also with the liquor licensing, I think it's also really important for restaurants to be able to be more creative with what they can do take away with liquor as well, like, for example, cocktails and things like that, which people love to enjoy, but we don't often, you know, able to have them in takeaway. So Just a couple of ideas.
Yeah. Oh, Duncan, I feel for you and for your business because it would be really hard fronting onto a highway and you can't really do what other businesses can. Have you looked at all those different options around doing deliveries, around people, you know, coming to a different spot to pick up their food and drinks?
Absolutely. We, during the first major lockdown, we had all of our front of the house doing delivery for us because I don't believe in the big delivery companies myself. And that's been a really great way to keep my staff employed. But you can only go so far. Then there's people who come from, I mean, we're in Croydon, people are coming from Tullamarine to our restaurant, but there's just no way they can have that option. In terms of outdoor dining, it's not just a matter of whether we've got the spaces. Well, you've got to try and remember that customers don't want to sit on a road with fumes and trucks going by when they're trying to enjoy their meal.
Yeah, I hope it all works out for you. It's really tricky, isn't it? And of course, we know that, you know, one size doesn't fit all. It certainly doesn't. It depends on the suburb or the town or the region that you're in. Lots of people saying vaccination is the only realistic solution. You know, another saying, I feel that dining fees should be waived at least until we get to 80% vaccination rate. We need to support these businesses. Ray Sharawara is the owner of the Hotel Shamrock in Bendigo. He's also an executive board member of the Australian Hotel Association. Ray, I mean, about a year ago, we spoke about the launch of outdoor dining and whether or not this was going to help and save businesses. Bendigo is already very good at this because it blocks off Bull Street and various areas for Easter festivals and whatnot. Has it helped businesses? Has it been enough of a lifeline?
Yes, thanks for the opportunity to talk, Rochelle and Jono. Look, it has. Bendigo's been quite progressive in what they did and certainly did allow people to open up on the streets and on the footpaths. We had 51 traders participate up until the end of June, just finished. And look, the good news is that I have spoken to the team leader, Local Laws, at Bendigo City Council, and contrary to what other people are getting, Bendigo is going to extend their outdoor dining permits to the end of April 2022, and all the fees associated will be waived. And that's fantastic news. And I think other councils can take the lead of Bendigo there and follow suit. I would hope that they would. I know councils all get together and talk about these matters. They're also waived all the fees associated with all the other local law permits, you know, AFA frame signs, food permits, et cetera, et cetera. So, and that's till the end of the 2022 financial year. So that's terrific news. And
That's great that you've got that certainty because I know some other councils aren't giving that much certainty. There's like, for example, the City of Yarra is waiving all footpath trading, parklet and street or lane closure fees until the 31st of December. And there's quite a few councils like that that are kind of saying, all right, and you've got until the end of the year. But it really does help to have that certainty for 12 months. Also, Ruth from Camperdown says, I'm very pleased that Corangamite Shire has again waived fees for Food Act registrations and permit fees for outdoor dining. So it seems like some councils are really getting involved and making this work. What about liquor licensing fees, Ray?
Same. Liquor licensing fees. I think we've been given by the state government an exemption for liquor licensing fees for another financial year. And I would assume that that any additional fees associated with those temporary permits will also be waived as well. So that's just an assumption, but I'm certain that will happen. So I think that's all good news. That's obviously with Bendigo. I can't speak for the other ones as well. I've also asked the question, can we make this a permanent arrangement going forwards after all this is over? Because, look, I love the, you know, the laneways in Melbourne. I love the laneways in Bendigo and even in Geelong, that little Mallop Street is becoming a little trendy spot as well. I'd like to see all these places remain permanently. I've asked the question. No guarantees given for that. But it would be good. I think it improves the amenity of the area. It just makes like they say, a great sort of like a New York feel, whatever it is.
Yeah, well, the global, lots of people, Ray, have said in Italy, you actually pay a surcharge to sit down at a restaurant or cafe, no surcharge on takeaway and outdoor dining. Let's absolutely rethink our outdoor spaces. There's an opportunity here. And another says, this is from Tech, and it says outdoor dining is big and it's a part of our culture in Asia. It should work with a hybrid, make it cleaner and make it more comfortable as well. So it's something that has happened globally. If there is a glass half full out of all of this, it could be that it's made permanent and free.
It is. Look, it's possible. So it's up to us, like, for example, our Hotels Association, to push that on behalf of all of our members, and that extends into the greater community, hospitality community. So we'll be working hard at that. We won't stop. We've been relentless in all of this. You know, it is a problem, obviously. We're locked down. We can't do anything at the moment. Hopefully, regional Victoria, places like Bendigo, Ballarat, Warrnambool may be able to open up. We don't know yet. But we've got our fingers crossed that we'll get some sort of trading, easement going forward. But we can only hope and pray. But look, we're in favour at all.
I wanted to ask you about that because yesterday the Premier says, all going well, that lockdown will end in regional Victoria next week. We don't know exactly when that is or what that will look like. But, I mean, how do you run a business?
Do you know anything we don't, Ray?
I participated in a meeting yesterday. There was 138 of us there and all asking the same question, especially of our leader, our president of the association. Look, I don't. But we've got a gut feeling. If you can go by my gut feeling, we will be opening in regional Victoria, LGA by LGA, city by city, I would imagine. It depends what's going on. Let's hope between now and next week we don't get any outbreaks in regional Victoria. The problem with reopening and under strict conditions, it sometimes becomes almost impossible to trade. So if they say you can only have 50 people, that's okay for a little venue, so I feel good for them. But places like mine, it becomes almost, it's just impossible to open because the cost of opening is just far outweighs, you know, the ability to earn any revenue. So I would hope in terms of outdoor dining, this lockdown that we've had just prior to it, we're allowed to have 100 people inside and out. Now, I would hope, and I think this will happen, that the outdoor dining will certainly be regarded as a separate a number, and I hope that number will be up to 100 outside. Yeah. Inside, I would like to see 100 or at least 50 minimum, but 100. But inside, outside, to be treated separately. That's what I'd like to see.
We're still waiting on that clarity, that level of clarity. But, Ray, thank you so much for talking with us today.
A pleasure.
Ray Sharawarra, the owner of the Hotel Shamrock in Bendigo, also an executive board member of the Australian Hotel Association. And just when we were talking about regional Victoria there, Rish, the indication was yesterday from the Premier that all going well, lockdown will end in regional Victoria, except Shepparton. So Shepparton is a different case next week. Mm. So that's what we're hoping for.
And depending on like which part of the state you live in and outdoor dining, this is an interesting text because it would be very different for Mildura, for example, because it says here, what happens in blazing summer when you can't escape inside to air-conditioned eateries? But if you've gone back in the days when we used to be able to travel, you know, and if you went to, say, North Queensland, they would have those little fine mist watery things that would come down while you're eating. Plays havoc with your hair and you end up looking completely insane, but it keeps you nice and cool. So maybe we could look at things like that.
Yeah, lots of different techniques to look at. Judy from Mount Eliza says, Main Street in Mornington is a very vibrant place with all the cafes and restaurants with outside tables, perfect for a beach suburb. Now, this is the other thing. The other variable in all of this is the weather, Rish.
Yeah, and, I know. And I look at today, it's hot and tomorrow is going to be cold and rainy and windy. We've been talking a lot about food trucks and pop-up food trucks, and I'm not joking when I say I think Mr. Whippy is stalking kids in our area in a nice way. He's literally just finding two or three on bikes and following them around trying to get a sale. But the importance of them and where we'll start to see them pop up, I think that's a bit of a watch this space area for eating outdoors.
Indeed.
Paul Safford is a food van or a food pop-up business owner. He runs Bigger Than Texas. Paul, the future of van food, like truck food, is that going to be something that we'll really have to rely on moving forward?
Look, I think we will rely on it because it is very flexible. We can sort of pop up anywhere. We can operate outside and we're very used to doing that. I guess my concern, having lots of friends that are in the industry, is not to be taking their slice of the business. We need to come up with a formula that allows everybody to reopen and generate some income. But look, we've traded particularly well through COVID every time we get locked down because we can still trade with takeaway. In fact, we have probably more calls from local community groups and areas saying, can you come down to our area? We'd really love to see you here. And when we do appear, we're treated a bit like royalty sometimes, which is really nice. So people have been incredibly supportive in looking for alternative types of food in their back gardens.
Oh, that is just so nice to hear a hospitality business owner say we've been trading really well through lockdown, because that's so often not the case. But what are the rules that you have to operate within, Paul?
Look, the main rule is there's a piece of software called Street Trader, which is run by it's run through your local council, so you have to register as a Street Trader trader, and obviously as part of doing that, you need to make sure that you're fully compliant. Whenever we pop up somewhere, if it's on private land, we put in a Street Trader application, and it basically lets the local council, the council that we're going to, it lets them know that we're going to be there, and obviously they then have the option to come along and check that we're doing the right thing. And obviously during COVID, we've done things at places like the Queen Vic Market, and we've fairly regular visitors there when they're up and running. We have to be very COVID compliant as well, and that's put a cost on the business, because on the big nights where we're expecting big crowds, we put on a COVID marshal if we think we need to make sure that the people queuing are doing the right thing. And the other thing that's happened during this lockdown in particular is we've actually had to engage with security, because of people not doing the right thing. Let's not go there, but it has been something that's caused us to have to wear a cost with security.
Paul, we've had some really interesting ideas thrown around, from almost food court style truck, pop-up truck dining. And I mean, you must have been thinking about this yourself as someone that works in this industry, you know, what the next 12 months will look like. Will we start to see that more?
Look, I hope so. And there are lots of spaces available. I think the local council need to be a little more or a little less onerous with regards red tape. We traded in Mornington. Actually, I just noticed one of your callers had mentioned Mornington. We traded in Mornington as a pop-up over summer last year, which was really good for us, but it was very difficult engaging with council, and in the end we ended up not trading anymore because of some of the difficulties we had. So I think there needs to be a little bit more understanding from councils, and I don't think I'm speaking out of school here in saying is that they're not particularly good at engaging with private business, generally speaking.
Hopefully that changes, because that's certainly what's ringing through today, and it's certainly ringing through in terms of what most of the public wants as well. Paul, thanks so much for your time. We wish you all the best. Paul Stafford there, he owns a food van business bigger than Texas.
If you've missed some of the conversation today, or you've been listening and thinking, oh, look, I know someone who really should listen to this, you can get this on podcast. The Conversation Hour is available wherever you get your podcasts or on the ABC Listen app.
And you can always email us as well if you have a person or an idea that you'd like to share with us. Our email address, conversationhour@abc.net.au. Till we speak to you next time, take care and speak soon.